Hello and welcome. It is Sunday, April 21st, 2024. And I am your host, as always, The Pody. So, some things to address. I did not do an episode last week. I was going to do an episode a couple days ago on Friday, as I normally do, but I just didn't have time, got home late. And we had to leave super early. I had to be up like 7 o'clock in the morning yesterday. We had some softball games almost 2 hours away. So I've been dealing with that. And so today I wanted to get an episode out because I prepped for one and it's been over a week since my last episode. So I'm back. We're here, episode 240 of This Week in Sports. And I also didn't do an episode last week because I was starting to get sick. I wasn't feeling too good. And then, of course, Monday afternoon came. I'm at work around lunchtime, and I started to feel like crap. So I had to call out of work Tuesday and Wednesday because I was just not feeling well. And by Thursday, I was pretty much like 75-80%. And I'm pretty good now. I just have this nasaliness still, this congestion in my nose. And for some reason, last night into this morning, I have a lot of congestion going on in my nose and like a lot of like phlegm stuff still going on. So my nose feels really stuffy right now. I've had the humidifier running while I've been sick and that's been helping, but I don't know what happened between yesterday and today. I just feel kind of congested and you know, I'm going to take a nice steaming hot shower in a little bit after this episode and maybe drink some tea later. So I do apologize for the way I sound. But with that being said, we can jump into this episode and get the ball rolling because it's going to be a little bit of a long one. So here we go. Okay, so it's actually quite interesting. Baseball season's almost a month old at this point, right? And so I'm in my own fantasy baseball league and we have keepers in this league. So I had to keep two players, and the two I decided to keep were Spencer Strider and Luis Arraez, because, you know, he's a batting champion. He's just, he gets hits left and right, and I felt like there was no one else that I could keep, and he's actually had a very slow start to the season. And then Strider, we all know the deal with Strider. He's a stud, led the league in, strikeouts and wins last year. For the Braves, well, that didn't last too long because he's now out for the year after getting Tommy John surgery. And he adds to a long list of star-studded pitchers that have either been hurt this year or were hurt last year and are missing the entirety of the 2024 season. It's just been unbelievable. So we know that Otani had UCL surgery back in October. He's out for this season. Garrett Cole hasn't made a start yet this season. He's been dealing with nerve inflammation since spring training. Although I heard he started to throw in a small capacity, but we don't know when we'll see him. Excuse me. Sandy Alcantara, former Cy Young winner with the Marlins. He had TJ surgery. That's Tommy John surgery back in October. He's out for the year. Jacob DeGrom, we all know, he had Tommy John surgery in June. He's probably out for the year as well, unless they make another run maybe to the World Series. Shane Bieber, he's out for the year after undergoing Tommy John surgery this month. And Justin Verlander, he made his debut for the season Friday for Houston, who desperately needed him back because they have just been awful. They ended up winning that game 5-3. And Verlander pitched okay. He got the win, 6 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits and 4 strikeouts, 78 pitches. So pretty solid for him there. We also know Walker Buehler has been out since August of 2022 when he underwent Tommy John surgery, but he is currently working his way through a rehab assignment and he should join the Dodgers in the next week or two. recently. Speaking of the Astros, Framber Valdez, he hit the IL with due to left elbow inflammation. And then we have Shane McClanahan, who had Tommy John surgery at the end of last season, and he will miss the entire 2024 season. So it's a very long list of star-studded pitchers dealing with major, major injuries. And many are going to speculate that it's the pitch clock that's the, you know, to blame. And, you know, that could be part of it. These pitchers, you know, they're having to get the ball back from the catcher, get on the mound, and just throw the ball. But no. That's not the answer. The most obvious answer to this and why these pitchers are getting hurt so much, so frequently, and so fast is the fact that they are trying to throw and manipulate a baseball harder than has ever been seen in the history of the sport. You've got guys like, and Jacob deGrom, I'll use him as the example because he throws harder than anyone. And it's every single pitch. He's dialing it up to 101, 102, 103. And he's throwing unprecedented 95-mile-an-hour sliders, which is just unheard of. And the amount of velocity and the torque that you're putting on your shoulder, your elbow, etc. God did not intend for your arm to do that or to throw a baseball that hard. It's just not possible. So that's what's leading to this. I mean, go to any youth showcase or, you know, high school showcase or college show game even, and look at these top pitching prospects at every level, high school, college, whatever. And what do you see? Scouts with radar guns behind home plate because everyone wants to know how fast you're throwing. And if you're not throwing at least 95 miles per hour, find another job because you're just not going to make it. There's not many of the, you know, Nestor Cortezes out there anymore that are, you know, can have funky windups and just, you know, move the ball a lot and get outs throwing, you know, mid-90s to low-90s. You know, gone are the days of Greg Maddux throwing high-80s to low-90s with crazy movement. It's all about velo and strikeouts, which, again, not only throwing that hard puts a crazy amount of strain on your elbow and your shoulder and everything else, but it leads to more pitches. We've got nothing but guys trying to hit launch angle home runs every time up. Aaron Judge getting booed out of Yankee Stadium yesterday, striking out four times. I mean, it's ridiculous. So when you're swinging and missing and striking out that many times, it leads to pitchers throwing more pitches, and you see starters that can't even go five, six innings anymore. They usually tap out at like five innings. It's ridiculous. So it's a joke, and I think guys are going to have to start to dial it back down. We've got guys also, you know, they're in the gym more than ever. They're building strength in their core, in their shoulders, in their arms, and that's what's helping them throw the ball as hard as ever. But it's just not sustainable if you want to have a long career and you want to make it through the season. Stop trying to throw so damn hard and learn to finesse and learn to work the plate and learn to, you know, be that Greg Maddux, you know, or the Tom Glavins or the John Smoltz. I'm using the Braves for an example, right? But it's unbelievable. And so to me, that's the obvious reason that it's leading to these injuries. And I hope that these guys can start to dial it back down. I personally think it's what's leading to a dip in viewership too in the sport, because guys, you know, fans and kids and whoever goes to games, you don't want to see Aaron Judge striking out four times. So what are we doing, right? In the grand scheme of things, let's get back to old school baseball. I want to see contact. I want to see pitchers finesse throw. You know, they're adding new pitches now, this sweeper, and it's just too much. The sport is not that extensive. It's not that hard. We've got these Harvard suits, right? All about analytics and how hard you throw and launch angle and this and that. And I'm just sick and tired of it, and I'm over it. And, you know, so if you're wondering why there's so many guys injured in Major League Baseball, that's probably why. All right, this happened last week, but again, I wasn't feeling well, didn't have time to get an episode out, but nonetheless, it's worth noting because it's pretty big news, right? Caitlin Clark has transcended women's college basketball and just basketball in general and has made women's sports fun again, right? Well, Tara Vanderveer, for the last 38 years, has been a staple in women's college basketball, and she is finally calling it quits. She is the winningest coach in NCAA history with 1,216 wins, and she announced she is retiring after 38 years at the helm of Stanford women's basketball. She had been with the Cardinals since 1985, leading the program to three NCAA championships in 90, 92, year I was born, and 2021. And she had 14 Final Four appearances over that span. It's just unbelievable. She had an unbelievable, amazing career. So shout out to her. And I wish her nothing but the best in her retirement. UFC 300, that was a fun one. We had Max Holloway dethroning Justin Gaethje on Saturday night to win the BMF title with a thrilling knockout in the very last second of the fifth round. Take a listen to that.
25. Holloway shows some mortality. Look at this. Holloway just told him. Stand right here.
Was too much for Gaethje to take. Holy smoke.
And this was a fight where everybody thought that Max was going to be outgunned.
He was not outgunned.
Oh, my God.
All night long.
Look at this right hand that ends it. Right here.
Wow.
And what a result.
What a result.
Unbelievable.
And on the biggest night of the year.
Look at the clock. Three. I mean, these guys are winging. Two.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like, again, I'm not huge into UFC 300, but this was a big bout. This was a big card, and that was cool. And I love the announcers too when they call these when there's just an epic knockout or something. It's awesome to hear Joe Rogan and everybody else. All right, so. Let's move on. Let's talk the Masters, right? That was pretty exciting for all but like, you know, 3 days. We had some weather issues there at the beginning, Thursday, Friday. Tiger made the cut, so obviously viewership numbers were going to be up. But then he just faltered because, again, he can't walk a course like that at Augusta. And, you know, on that bum leg, I would love to see him get a medical exemption so he could get a cart and be a little bit more competitive because, you know, I know Tiger, it's his pride and all that stuff, but he ended up finishing in last after he made the cut. But we forged ahead to Sunday. And again, Scottie Scheffler, number one player in the world. There was questions about, you know, whether he would leave if his wife went into labor. And he said every single time that he was, no matter what, he would be leaving, but she was like 3 weeks out. So that wasn't really in jeopardy. And he absolutely cruised to victory. It's his second green jacket in 3 years. It was a four-shot victory for him. He also now has 9 PGA Tour wins, which includes those 2 majors, 2 Players Championships, and 2 Arnold Palmer Invitationals. There are only 3 players all-time with 2 green jackets and 2 Players Championships: Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and now Scottie Scheffler. So, to put that into perspective, that's how good a player he is. He's the 4th youngest player, just 27 years old, to win 2 Masters titles. The others were Jack at 25, Tiger at 25, and Seve Ballesteros at 26. He's also been the world number one for 83 of the last 107 weeks. And he's not like a flashy guy by any means. He's a man of faith, man of God. He's just a humble guy. You know, he said growing up, like, golf wasn't the end all be all. It was, you know, just something he did and was really good at. So, yeah, it's crazy how good he's been. And he's actually competing again this weekend. Today, that tournament will finish up. And he has a chance to win yet again. I'll talk about that at the end of the show. But it's just crazy how good this guy is. The White Sox, this is an interesting one. They added Tommy Pham just this week. It's been a very weird offseason for the 36-year-old, who after starting last season with the Mets and then was traded to Arizona, where he helped guide the Diamondbacks to the World Series, was a key cog in that World Series run with that Diamondbacks team. But for whatever reason, he just could not find a job this winter, this offseason, and he had to wait until basically the first month of the season was over to land with the White Sox, the league's worst team. So he's another guy I expect veteran outfield presence. I expect him to get probably dealt around the deadline, maybe a team needing some help, maybe an injury, something like that. We'll see. Keep an eye on that. All right. One of the legends is officially calling it quits, retiring after calling his, 40th and final Masters. On Sunday, Vern Lundquist signed off the air for the final time at CBS Sports after working his 40th Masters, a nice round number that he felt at age 83 was the way to go. And of course, Vern is known for more than the Masters. We had the Leitner play in 92. We had the kick six college football calls like left and right. He's just been a staple, just one of the best. He was obviously in Happy Gilmore. He gave us, the announcing in Happy Gilmore. He did a great job with that. And here's just a little tribute to Vern from CBS. Take a listen.
How do you capture a moment like that? And if you're lucky in your career, like I have been, you have a couple of moments like that. And a lot of guys spend their career and are never presented with that opportunity. Well, then it's a lightning bolt. And you better catch it and catch it right.
Oh, my goodness.
You remember the history of this place because of all the things I've done of which I am most proud. To have a history with the Masters Tournament, nothing can compare.
Yeah, that doesn't even really do him justice. I tried to find like a shorter video too that was like some of his best calls ever. But you could, go on like YouTube and stuff to find that. They're a little bit longer. But yeah, he's been a legend. And I just feel like I'm getting old as these legendary announcers, players, coaches, you name it, start to retire. It's like, damn, I'm about to be 32 years old and, the world is going on and things are happening. So crazy, but yeah, what a legend. And if you've never seen Happy Gilmore, shame on you. It's one of the greatest movies of all time. And I hear that there's a Happy Gilmore 2 in the works. So that would be absolutely epic. Okay, let's talk a little NBA because we've got NBA playoffs going on. The Miami Heat actually just got absolutely blasted by the Boston Celtics. That was probably some revenge for last year, but no Jimmy Butler in that. He's out for a while with that injury sustained in the play-in game against Philadelphia, but more on that in a bit. I'm talking about the final game of the regular season, I believe it was, and we got one of the best moments of the season thus far, and it came from none other than Boban Marjanovic. And this is why he's like an ogre. This dude is 7 feet tall. He looks like Goofy. His head is huge. His ears are huge, but he's just got one of the greatest personalities. It's why as a backup center, back when he was with the Spurs and, even now he's in like State Farm commercials and stuff. Like, it's hilarious. The guy's just a ball of energy. He's super fun to be around. And he plays to the crowd and things of that nature. So here's what happened. He's on the Rockets, right? They were visiting He stepped up to the free throw line. They were leading 105-97, okay? And I forget who they were playing, actually. It was, anyway, not important. But he stepped up to the free throw line, and he missed the first free throw. And the crowd started to get real excited. Real energy started to build, right? And it's like, why is everyone getting so happy? They're losing by 8 points, right? And it was because if he missed two free throws in a row, I guess it was like in the fourth quarter or something, someone had to miss two free throws, the entire stadium would get free chicken sandwiches from Chick-fil-A. So he realized what was going on. And he decided to play it into the crowd. He started getting his, you know, getting the crowd all hyped up and everything. And then he missed the free throw on purpose. Like, just take a listen to this. The announcers will, you know, do it justice better than I can.
Fans are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
They're pointing to him. He's like, Beaumont's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
No, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
So, yeah, there you have it. He's a man of the people, they're saying. He's pointing to the crowd. Like, he's just an entertainer. And I could totally see him in, like, his next life, like, when in his post-playing days are over, like, going to the WWE or something and just being one, like, a personality, like a wrestler over there. Like, he's just made for that. He's an entertainer at heart. And so it's a pretty cool moment. Now, the Rockets did end up going on to win this game. They didn't make the playoffs or anything, but they still won the game. So those free throws didn't have any effect on that. So just wanted to put that out there. That was a pretty fun moment. All right, Caitlin Clark, the hype is over. Caitlin Clark, shocker, went number one to the Indiana Fever. The Clark effect is now in full swing, too, in the WNBA. Ticket prices are through the roof. I believe I saw season openers going for upwards of $165, whereas by comparison, the defending champion Aces season opener, those are selling for around $34. And I did just see today that they're having to move Caitlin Clark's debut with the Indiana Fever to a higher seat or higher capacity arena that will fit more people because that the hype surrounding her is real, people. I mean, the anticipation around her debut, like, so many people want to go to this game. It's unbelievable. What else? Okay, so I saw this started making the rounds too on social media, and people are freaking out. And let's just pause for a second. So Caitlin Clark's signing bonus, she signed a 4-year contract worth $338,056. So what does that mean? How does that break down? So in 2024, she will make $76,535. In 2025, that'll go up a couple thousand to $78,066. In 2026, it'll be $85,873. And in 2027, $97,582. Now, many people might be saying, like, holy crap, that's terrible. The number one pick in the NBA, Victor Wembanyama, what was he making? Like $11 million or so in his first year. But again, this is comparing apples to oranges. Okay. NBA is a billion-dollar corporation. They sell out arenas. They get viewership numbers through the roof, you know, for their games and everything. And WNBA just isn't on that level. But I will say this, Caitlin Clark made over $2 million in NIL deals at Iowa. Okay, so she's fine there. And I just read today also that she is inking a Nike deal. They're going to come out with a signature Caitlin Clark shoe for upwards of $20 million. So that's pretty damn good. So she don't care about her contract and what she's going to make on the court because it's all about what she will make off the court. And it's a little surprising. Steph Curry and Under Armour tried to get her on their side, and she actually decided to go with Nike, which is a little surprising. But Because you know everyone compares her to Steph Curry, so them teaming up, I could see them in like commercials and just doing different things with Under Armour. That would have been kind of electric, but I'm sure Under Armour did not offer her $20 million as Nike did. All right, so it wasn't all about Caitlin Clark at the WNBA draft. We had others. Cameron Brink of Stanford, she went number two. This is kind of cool about her. Cameron Brink's mom actually worked for Nike and was the product manager on Dawn Staley's signature shoe back in the day. So that's kind of a full circle moment. She was just a little kid. Her mom was working for it then. The player Dawn Staley, now obviously head coach at South Carolina, but she was a superstar player herself, and her mom helped develop Dawn Staley's signature shoe at Nike, and that was kind of, you know, her first taste, Cameron Brink's first taste into basketball and women's sports and WNBA, and that's when she decided, you know, I want to, you know, play in the WNBA one day, and now it's come full circle, and she went number two, so that's kind of cool. I'm not going to get into the rest of it. I know Caitlin Clark's, you know, longtime nemesis, Angel Reese, she went number seven to Chicago. Camila Cardosa, I think, went number three. You know, a bunch of others went in there as well. Caitlin Clark's Iowa teammate, Kate Martin, I think she went like number 14 or so, something like that. And then again, it's no surprise, but a startling 2.446 million people watched Monday's WNBA draft, which shattered the previous record of, which was 601,000 viewers, which was way back in 2004 when Diana Taurasi entered the league. All right, my Brooklyn Nets, they picked their new head coach. It's not a splashy name by any means. I didn't even know this man or who this was, but it's Jordy Fernandez. He is just 41 years old. He has been a fast-rising assistant coach and a key part of the Kings' resurgence over the last two seasons under Mike Brown. And he actually previously worked with Mike Malone on his Nuggets staff. Jordy comes from Spain. He grew up in Spain. He played over there. And then he came, and I believe he first started working with the Cavaliers when Mike Brown was with the Cavaliers, and he's just, you know, just 41 years old to become a head coach. That's big time. So we'll see. The Nets are got a ways to go. They're in rebuild mode essentially. They underperformed this year. They should have at least been able to make the play-in, and it was just an underwhelming season altogether. All right, the Eagles exercised the fifth-year option on wide receiver Devontae Smith, after which he also agreed to a three-year extension with $51 million guaranteed. The former Heisman winner is coming off two straight 1,000-yard seasons, and he is reliable, having played in all but one regular season game in his three-year career. And I'm trying to think, we have the NFL draft coming up on Thursday night, trying to think who the next Devontae Smith is going to be. Is it Marvin Harrison Jr.? Probably. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a guy that I'm hearing, you know, rumored to be going in the top three or four. I'm hearing maybe the Jets, if they're going to make a trade, they might trade up to number four to try to draft him, because everyone's speculating that the Cardinals are the most likeliest team to trade out of the four spot for other teams that are needing a quarterback. I'm also hearing the Giants might trade up to four to take J.J. McCarthy. God, that would be a just absolute disaster. I do not believe J.J. McCarthy is going to be a good quarterback in this league. I'm sorry, I don't. He's going to go in the first round. This is Daniel Jones all over again if I'm the Giants, and I would not do it, but who am I to say what to do? That's just my opinion. Longtime Yankees announcer John Sterling retired effective immediately after a 35-year run. The 85-year-old has dealt with health issues of late, so this isn't all that surprising, but it's still shocking because, again, this is all I've ever known my entire life. He's been the voice of the Yankees, and he has been in broadcasting for 64 years, although I haven't liked him of late, really, or you know, particularly because he's just an old man, and a lot of times he's like, somebody hits a fly ball and he acts like it's going to be a home run. And then there's other plays where he literally says, I have no idea what's going on. I don't see what, you know, he just lost sometimes. But again, he's been a staple for 64 years, 35 of which were with the Yankees. Now, WFAN is going to replace Sterling with a pair of guys, 37-year-old Justin Shackle and 24-year-old Emmanuel Barbari, who combined are 24 years younger than Sterling. So the two are already slated to call the majority of the road games this season with Susan Waldman, but neither Shackle nor Barbari are guaranteed to receive the full-time job. RIP to the Warriors' big three. We knew there was issues when, like, Draymond got suspended earlier in the year for his anger management issues, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the Warriors were stuck in the play-in game facing the Kings. Now, if you remember, the Warriors beat the Kings in a 7-2 matchup a year ago in the first round of the playoffs, and the Warriors kind of trolled the Kings and everything like that, right? So Tuesday night, the Kings got their revenge. This was the 9-10 matchup. The Kings led the entire game and ended the Warriors season in blowout fashion, 118-94. The icing on the cake, because he's set to become a free agent and he's the lone splash brother of this big three that is probably not going to be with the Warriors next season, although Steve Kerr says he would like him back. But the icing on the cake, Klay Thompson played 31 minutes, went 0 for 10 with 0 points. He was 0 for 6 from 3. So that is just a hell of a way to go out. It also doesn't help that Kings coach Mike Brown helped the Warriors win 3 out of their 4 championships as one of their top assistant coaches. You know, all things have to come to an end, and I just feel like I'm getting older and older because everything seems to be coming to an end, but it was a nice dynastic run while it lasted with these guys. But Klay Thompson, we all know he has not been the same since those pair of injuries, the Achilles, the ACL. And I'm hearing that he could get like a max deal with the Pistons, which would just be wow. But of course, at his age, he'd have to take a significant pay cut to stay with the Warriors. And why do that when that team's not really going anywhere? Just get the money while you can. In the other play-in game in the West, we had the Lakers edging the Pelicans 110-106. So the Lakers became the 7th seed. They already lost yesterday to the Nuggets in the first round. They had a nice little 12-point lead, but that quickly evaporated in the second half. The Pelicans were on pace to win this game, but with 3 minutes left, shocker, Zion Williamson hurts his hamstring and left the game, did not come back. He had 40 points in his first playoff game. He was balling out, and the Pelicans just, for some reason, didn't want to play Brandon Ingram in the fourth quarter. CJ McCollum didn't have a great game, and so they lost to the Lakers. They did bounce back to beat the Kings, so they became the 8th seed, and somehow they won that game without Zion. We don't know his status going forward with the hamstring injury, but he's just a guy you can't rely on. And if I'm the Pelicans, I would just move on, because he's more headache than he's worth. All right, so and sticking with the NBA as well, Blake Griffin officially retired after 14 seasons. God, he was just electric. I'll never forget that slam dunk contest where he jumped over the Kia. Just iconic stuff. All right, he's just been dunking on people for 14 years. It's been epic to watch. All right, now the big one. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on Wednesday banned former Toronto Raptors player Jontae Porter for life. If you haven't been following this story, it's a doozy. So the league said Porter privately told a sports bettor he was injured, removed himself from a game to control prop bets on his own play, and placed his own wagers on NBA games. So he is the first active player or coach to be expelled from the NBA for gambling since Jack Molinas in 1954. According to the results of a league-wide investigation, Porter gave a confidential tip about his health to a known sports bettor before the Raptors game on March 20th against the Kings. Now, a third person connected to both Porter and the original bettor placed an $80,000 parlay to win $1.1 million, and this was a wager that hinged on the prediction that Porter would underperform against the Kings. So essentially, they were betting on his under. And so to make sure the bet hit, Porter took himself out of the game after just 3 minutes, claiming he was ill. It was also determined that from January to March, Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using a friend's online betting account. Although none of those bets were on games in which he played, he did bet on the Raptors to lose as part of a parlay. The wagers ranged anywhere from $15 to $22,000. They totaled about $54,000, and Porter netted himself nearly $22,000 in winnings. Now, what's crazier about this is this moron has made nearly $5 million in his first 5 years in the league. Now, he's 24 years old. He's been up and down between the G League and you know, the NBA's Raptors. So he's been holding his own, doing fine. It's just crazy to think that you would do something like this to jeopardize your career, and now he's done. He's banned for life. He'll never play in the NBA ever again, and it's wild because if you didn't know about this either, Jonte Porter is the brother of the Nuggets' Michael Porter Jr. And, of course, Michael Porter Jr., he's an NBA champion, trying to defend that title with the Nuggets. They played the Lakers yesterday. It has been a hell of a week for the Porter family. On Friday, the youngest brother, or one of the younger brothers, I don't know how many there are, Corbin Porter, 22, he was sentenced to 6 years in prison for killing a woman in a drunk driving crash last year. And now, this happens. What a just devastating run for the Porter family. I mean, can you imagine if you're Michael Porter Jr. having to field questions about your brother, Corbin Porter, and now your other brother, Jonte Porter? Like, it's just been, how do you compartmentalize this and not worry about that and try to do your job and win games for the Nuggets? It's wild, but it's the reality of what's taking place. And, you know, it whatever he's doing is working, because the Nuggets ended up beating the Lakers by 11, and he had 19 points and was plus 10. So pretty damn good for a guy whose two brothers are, you know, one's going to jail and one's just been banned from the NBA for life. Crazy. All right, the NHL Board of Governors officially approved the Arizona Coyotes' sale to owner Ryan Smith for a whopping $1.2 billion. This now clears the way for the team's relocation to Salt Lake City. This is the first time an NHL team is relocating since 2011. The Coyotes spent the last 28 years in Arizona, and some residents of Arizona, this is all they've known, is the Coyotes for the last 28 years. They had a bittersweet kind of final game there at Arizona State's 4,500-seat arena, which also was just unfeasible to continue to have an NHL team play in a 4,500-seat arena. But it's also weird because they are letting the Coyotes just move to Salt Lake City, but yet the NHL continues to say they are fully committed to having a team in Arizona. And it's very fast that this is happening. The move is going to be within the next 5 months this year, so they have 5 months to prep. The team is nameless. The owner is crowdsourcing on Twitter, trying to come up with a name. There's no jerseys, logos, colors, etc. The new and old owner haven't even talked. But the one thing that they do have is an arena in Utah. They will be playing at the Jazz's 20,000-seat Delta Center, because if you didn't already know this, new Coyotes owner Ryan Smith also owns the Jazz. So that's why that's happening. So that all makes total sense. That's pretty much all I have. So actually, this turned out to be a lot smoother and a lot quicker than I anticipated, and I'm glad we're at the end, because I'm just having a fit over here with my sinuses. It's crazy, the mucus and the phlegm that I have left over from being sick, and I must sound terrible. So I again apologize. But last but not least, on this date in sports, take it all the way back to April 21st, 1951, when Bill Borelko scored less than 3 minutes into overtime to beat the Montreal Canadiens and give the Maple Leafs their fourth championship in 5 years. This was the only Stanley Cup final where every game of the series was decided in overtime. And I was just looking at, saw this on Twitter, but Bill Borelko, what a crazy life he had. His family moved to like Canada. they didn't know really anything about hockey, started playing it, blah, 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 got good. And anyway, he gets into the league. He wasn't expected to be a very good player. He couldn't skate that well. They told him essentially not to cross center ice. And next thing you know, he's helping them win a Stanley Cup, the Maple Leafs. And he actually had a tragic passing. He ended up going on a fishing trip with his dentist. And I'm assuming the dentist had his own plane, had a pilot's license or whatever. And they flew into some, you know, wherever the hell they flew to go fishing. And on their way back, they stopped somewhere to refuel and were never heard from again. 11 years later, they found the plane, and it was the same day that it was, I believe, the same day that they won another Stanley Cup. 11 years later. So, pretty cool stuff. Let me just verify that, because I was reading that before, and let's see. Yeah, I believe that's right. 11 years later, the Maple Leafs won another championship. But yeah, imagine just tragic going missing in a plane crash like that. But okay. With that being said, okay, one final thing. What you can watch this weekend. Well, the weekend's really over because it's Sunday, but you've got golf, like I said. Let's get an update on that, because not only has Scottie Scheffler been on fire, if you didn't know anything about the LPGA, Nelly Korda is going for her fifth straight win, which would tie a record. She was one shot back. Let's just get a quick glimpse of this. Scottie Scheffler, yep, 3 under. Today, he's leading by 3 shots through 9 holes. He's probably going to win again. This is ridiculous. And then let's see the LPGA. I can't find it. Hold on. Give me a second here. Let's see. LPGA. Nelly Korda, holy Christ. She is 4 shots ahead. She's 4 under today. She's probably going to win. Okay, she just dropped one. I think she's 3 up now. She's at 13 under. She leads 3 people by 3 shots through 9 holes. So she's on pace to win her 5th straight. She's unbelievable. We've got NBA playoffs going on. Like I said, the Heat got absolutely blasted by the Celtics, 114 to 94. No Jimmy Butler, like I said. The Clippers and Mavs are on right now. You've got Pacers Bucks later. You've got Thunder Pelicans. Of course, yesterday we had the Cavs beat the Magic in their first game of that series. You had the Timberwolves blow out the Suns by 25. The Knicks held on to beat the Sixers. There was a Joel Embiid scare with his knee. Looked like he might have blown his knee out. In the second quarter, he kind of went up and under, threw it off the glass, and like dunked it to himself, passed it to himself off glass and dunked it, and then fell down and landed on his knee and was like grabbing at it. And then he left, but he came back to start the second half. That's going to be a good series. And then, like I said, the Nuggets beat the Lakers by 11. So there's that going on. You've got NHL playoffs going on. Honestly, I don't know much about what's been going on there. I don't even really know when the NHL playoffs started, if I'm being perfectly honest, but you've got the Rangers and Caps right now. The Panthers held on to beat the Lightning 3-2. Jets Avalanche a little bit later. The Canucks Predators. You had the Hurricanes beat the Islanders 3-1 yesterday, and the Bruins destroyed the Maple Leafs 5-1. So there you have that. You've got baseball going on. The Yankees are beating the Rays 5-1 in the 8th inning right now. Yeah, I guess that's all I've got, really. Phillies up 8-2 on White Sox. Yeah, that about does it. Like I said, the NFL draft, ladies and gentlemen, is on Thursday. So that is awesome to see. I can't wait. My Jets picking 10th overall. I really want Brock Bowers, but if we can trade up and get Marvin Harrison Jr., that would also be awesome. So looking forward to that. I wish you all the best of luck. I'm off Tuesday for Passover at work, so that's nice to have a day off in the middle of the week. So yeah, I will hopefully catch you guys on Friday with another episode of This Week in Sports. I'm the Pody, signing off. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I'll see everybody next week.